If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of John chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 15 through 22. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 15 through 22. Whether one realizes it or not, there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day where everybody's going to have to give an account for their lives. Jesus is going to tell the Jews that they're going to have to answer to him right here. Because they didn't like Jesus. Some of these religious people didn't. He did things contrary to their law. But Lord, right here, what it comes off of is where Jesus had healed the man who could not get into the water himself. And he told the man, take the bed and walk. And it was on the Sabbath. They didn't like it. So let's read right here in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore that the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only he had broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. Now it all boils down to right here to verse 22 in my message. For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. Let me read that again. For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. What Jesus was essence was saying is, you're going to answer to me. You're going to give an account to me. You're going to stand before me, and I'm going to be your judge. That's what he was telling these religious Jews right here that sought to kill him. You're going to stand, verse 22, you're going to stand and give an account to me. You're going to give an account for all your actions. That's what Jesus was saying. And that's simply what I want to speak on this morning. One must give an account. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we lift you up, dear God, today, Lord, and we just exalt you, dear God, Lord, and we praise you, dear God, Lord, for everything you've done, dear God, this morning, oh Lord. Lord, I just ask God for your anointing, and I ask God for your spirit, dear Lord, to be upon me, to help me speak your word, to help me to preach this morning, oh God. Father, Lord, give me the words you would have me to speak, oh God, today, Lord. Give me the words you would have me to proclaim in here today, Lord. Search hearts, search lives, and search individuals' lives, dear God. Oh, Lord, today we know that that day is a coming for each one, that they must stand before you and give an account for whatever they done. Lord, we give you glory, God, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. James 4 and 14 simply states, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just like we all had a beginning at the time of birth, we all have a date to go to eternity. There are two dates that are on the tombstone. You've got the date of birth and you got the date of death. In between those dates is what they put a dash. That dash represents the rest of your life. It represents what had you done between those two days. But it also represents a question. What did I do with the one that they call Jesus? How did I answer that question? Who do you say that I am? You see, the reality is this morning, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll hear me talk this morning about two judgment seats. The judgment seat of believers and the judgment, great white throne judgment. One is for believers and the other is for the wicked. But there is not one under my voice this morning that will escape this court date. You can laugh and you can scoff and think you can have a little mockery about what I'm about ready to preach under your voice, that it ain't going to happen to you. But I'm going to tell you this morning that you're going to stand before the courtroom of God. You're going to stand before a holy God and give it an answer, an account for your life. I've heard people make the comment that only God can judge me. Well, that ought to scare the daylights out of everyone around, because the reality is God is going to judge you. The reality is people have been judged by His Word of God. And the reality is if the Word of God's already judged the fruit of a believer. The reality is you're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account for everything that you've done. And whether you have done good, whether you've done bad deeds, what you've done for Christ, or whether you rejected Jesus Christ. There's no getting around the fact that man must stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You see right here in John chapter 5, we see these religious Jews, these Pharisees or Sadducees or whatever you want to call them this morning. They were a bunch of religious Jews who claimed that they served God. Oh, no doubt they went through the temple. No doubt they fasted and they prayed. No doubt they were, every time the doors opened, they were there. But yet they were guilty of opposing Jesus. They were guilty coming against Jesus. These religious folks were nothing more than frauds. They were nothing more than a counterfeit, if you will. Just like there is a real $100 bill, there is a counterfeit $100 bill. The Bible says not everyone that calls Him Lord, Lord's going to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And how can someone call Him Lord and do not the things that which He has says? Well, these Jews right here, these religious people right here, is what Jesus called a bunch of hypocrites. When He told, remember, He told the Pharisees, He said, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." Jesus didn't beat no bushes about it. He called them a bunch of hypocrites. Yes, they went through the motions. Yes, they come in the temple and went through all the practice, but in reality, they were opposing the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what they were sitting here in John chapter 5 wanting to do. They were there literally wanting to kill Jesus because He had broken the Sabbath day. And not only that, but also that He is claiming that God was His Father and that He was equal with God. In fact, what Jesus was telling them was absolute truth. But they wanted to kill Him. They wanted to rid Him. They wanted to get rid of the one that they called Jesus of Nazareth. What did they do right here? They were guilty of two things. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and they also rejected the Word of God. Let me remind you, to reject Jesus is to reject the Word, and to reject the Word is to reject Jesus. How many know that this morning? And yet this morning, morning, we got countless people that want to take pages out of the Word of God. We got countless people that want to reject the Word and do not what the Word of God says. They want to continue to live in open sin. They want to continue to live in rebellion. They want to continue to live like hell, and yet they think that because they attend the church service, because they sit on the pew, that they're on their way to heaven. I want you to know this morning, when you rebel against God's word, when you're living like hell and think you're on your way to heaven, you are deceived. There are a lot of people that are sitting on church pews that are living like the devil and thinking they're on their way to heaven and can't see the error of their way. There's a lot this morning that God has turned over to a reprobate mind. They can't see the error of their way. They can't see the error of their action. They want to continue to go and go as they want to do and think they don't have to give an account. But I come by to tell you this morning that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've come by to tell you this morning that everybody under my voice, you have been summoned to court. You have been summoned to a courtroom. Oh, the judge is not just any judge, but the judge is Jesus Christ himself. Let me tell you what Jesus was telling them in verse 22. Jesus was saying, you coming against me now, you're accusing me all of this, but when it is said and it is done and it is over, that every one of you are going to have to answer to me. Every one of you are going to have to stand before me and hear my answer towards you. Let me tell you this morning today, they are people that are playing around with God. They are people that are sitting on church pews that are just playing around, scoffing under their voice, mocking under their voice, laughing under their voice, thinking this ain't going to happen to me. Well, let me tell you something, honey. There ain't no way you can get around it this morning. You're going to have to stand before Jesus. These Jews that sought to kill him right here, going to have to stand before Jesus. Those that have come against him are going to have to stand before Jesus. All these liberals, all these ACLUs, all these antichrist spirits in this world are going to have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account for what they done in their life. Oh, they're going to have to stand before a holy God. They're going to have to stand before a righteous King. They're going to have to stand before the Lamb of God and give an account for what they done this morning. You see, let me tell you, you don't have to worry about the preacher, but you better worry about God this morning. Amen? You see, I don't see you in private. I don't see what you do behind closed doors, but God surely does this morning. God surely does this morning. He knows who you are in private. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you do when nobody else does. Let me tell you the thought of that, and the thought we're going to have to stand before him ought to make you shake in your boots this morning. It ought to make you literally shake in fear. The thought that we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for the things that we have done. Let me tell you, Wednesday night I preached a message entitled, "They Had Not Heard My Words." They rejected his words, in essence. Talking about Judah out of Jeremiah 25. God had given them word after word. God had given them word after word. He told them what was going, if they needed to repent, they would not heed. He told them so long, and God finally said, enough is enough. You rejected my prophets. You rejected me. You see, God sent his words by the prophets. And to reject the prophets of God, Jeremiah, and to reject that was through his message, was to reject God. So God said, what's going to happen? I'm going to send you into 70 years of captivity. I'm going to let you drink the cup of wine that symbolized the wrath of God. While there would be other nations that would come a part of it, Judah would be the first to drink of that wine, the cup of the wrath, because of their disobedience to God, because they rejected the message time and time again. Like I told you, there's some people that you don't like to listen, and Judah was one of those people that do not like to listen. Judah was one of those that did not want to get corrupt, did not like to be corrected. They liked the error of the way. Let me tell you about somebody that don't like correction. The Bible calls them a fool. The fool despiseth the correction, but a man of wisdom will receive correction. That is in the book of Proverbs, by the way. Let me tell you that. But anyway, Judah didn't want to hear it. Judah didn't want to have to go for the land. They wanted to continue in their abominations and think nothing was going to happen to them. Oh, honey, didn't they feel that? Find out that God came down and he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He said, I'll leave this land desolate. I'll leave this land broken down. I'll leave this land in a mess. It'll be like a desert when I'm done with it. You will go into 70 years of captivity. And that's exactly what happened, because they disobeyed God. They would not receive the correction. They would not hear it. My Lord, as a preacher, I'm telling you, I remember what you said, Brother Harold. There's always one that will try your patience. I'll try them back. You tell them not to do something, they're doing it the exact way. It ain't because they forgot. It's because they got a spirit of rebellion. They got a Jezebel spirit. But there's an Ahab spirit, and you're going to hear me start preaching on this, that goes along with it. There is an Ahab spirit that is scared of the Jezebel spirit. Uh-oh, what do you mean by that? The Ahab spirit would not put his foot down. Ahab was king, but Jezebel was no more than Ahab. It started in the garden. I'm about ready to make some of you women may get mad when I'm about to say this. But Adam should have put his foot down to Eve. Amen? Ahab should have put his foot down to Jezebel. See, the spirit of Ahab is a spirit that is passive. They don't like to cause a confrontation because they're scared. How many know if you allow that spirit to go on, it's going to run dominant of you? The only way to get a hold of that spirit is to look it in the eyes and tell them they had, and put your foot down on it. We'll get into that later on. But I'm telling you this morning, there's that spirit that is going around. There's a spirit of people that won't want to control everything. And it's not of God. Amen. Let me tell you, if you got that attitude, you're going to stand before God this morning. You better look how Jezebel died. The dogs got a hold of her. Hey, amen. You better look how Ahab died. He died under a lying spirit, killed in war, trying to cover himself. What I'm trying to tell you is, this morning, here's where it all boils down to. Let me tell you, there's a day of reckoning. There's a day where man's going to have to give an account before God. There is a day where mankind is going to have to stand before the baptized before the courtroom of God. In fact, Acts 17 and 31 says, because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, that by that man he had ordained whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. There is an appointed day. Read that right there. An appointed day. There's no avoiding it. There's no skipping it. It is appointed. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there. Amen. That means we're all going to court. Somebody say, we're all going to court. We're all going to court. You need to say, I'm going to court. I'm going to court. I'm not going to the people's court. How many remember that show? I'm not going to Judge Judy. Amen. I'm not going to judge so-and-so. I'm not going to the Supreme Court of the United States, but I'm going to the Supreme Judge of the universe, and I'm going to have to stand before him and give an account for what I've done for him. Let me tell you, you'll either be at the Bema seat of Christ for your rewards, whether you'll gain or you'll lose what you've done for him and your motives, or you'll be at the great white throne judgment to hear the words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Can I tell you, you listen this morning, we got to keep it in our mindset that a court day is a coming. We got to keep it in our mind that the day of accountability is coming. There's not one that's going to escape it. You see, you can get by with things down here. There are some people that will commit a crime they'll never find on this earth. True. There are some people that have committed and will commit crimes. My Lord, no matter how much evidence they got against them, they'll get released. All you got to do is look around. There's people that is walking around today that should be in jail. Especially that's got money or it's got a name. Things they done we couldn't get by with. But on the day of judgment, it ain't going to be like that for them. Everybody's on equal ground that day. Everybody's on equal ground that day. Did you hear me? Let me tell you, the day of accountability is a coming. The day of accountability is a coming quickly for many. You see, you better watch your actions, because you're going to have to give an account for them. The day of accountability is a coming this morning. Let me tell you, the thought of giving account about one's life seems not to scare many. It seems like not to make them tremble anymore. People ain't worried about having to give an account. They think God's just going to let them off the hook. Anybody ever met somebody like that? God's just going to let me off the hook. That's what a lot of people thought. Judah thought that too. Judah thought because they were religious and they did these rituals and they performed these things, God was going to let them off the hook. Let me tell you something. If you think just because you sit in a church pew and you attend the house of God and you do this and you do that, God's going to let you off the hook. Well, let me tell you something, honey. The Bible says that Jesus said, too much is given, much more is required. There'll be more required of you than there'll be somebody that ain't stepped in this church house. You better get that through your head. People better get that through their thick skull this morning. That God's going to require more of who have heard the gospel than those who have never stepped foot in a church. Am I right on that? They got punishment, but those who have heard and who have rejected, let me tell you, God's going to give them an account. Let me tell you I expect more out of church folks than I do people that don't attend here. I expect more out of them. Jesus Christ expects more out of his people. People that have heard, who have rejected, don't think nothing's going to happen. Going through like this. Skip to the loo. You go ahead and skip, skip, skip to the loo, because I'm telling you, there's a coming to an end of the highway. And it is sooner rather than later. My Lord, I've come by to tell you, God will only deal and deal so much. He dealt with Judah for just so long. He sent his word for so long. He sent his word for so long. And they would not hear him. My Lord, I've seen it happen many times. I've seen it happen many times. Be on pews, reject the word, reject the word. Had opportunity after opportunity, yet die lost. I remember a time, I don't remember where it was at, years ago, there was two young men that came into a church service. Gripped the pew, the conviction was hard on them. They said, we'll come back tonight and get saved. They rejected it that morning, but they didn't make it back that night. They went out, and they got hit by a train and went into eternity lost. You remember this, my pastor down in North Carolina. He gave this at a church. People thought he was playing. He wasn't serious about it. He said God showed him the death angel was coming to somebody's house that night. Let me tell you what happened. Surely, sir, something. That death, many didn't take him serious, but this one young man come to the altar and give his heart to the Lord. That night he died being hit by a train. Let me tell you something. You ain't got time like you think you got time. Did you hear me? You think you got plenty of time. You don't have plenty of time. I was just thinking the other day, my Lord, what my have my life. Even if I live to be 100, I'm believing to be in heaven before then. Either by the rapture. However, but I'm believing to be in heaven before them. If I live to be 80, I've already lived half of my life. Well, I'm not going to say it. And there's some, I don't mean it. I'm telling you how quick it passes. Am I right? Think about it. Some of us, I'm growing older, and I look how quick it's passing. Some of you can tell me the same thing, how quick this thing passing. Why? Because we're racing towards eternity. We're racing towards the day where we must give an account to God. I got news for you this morning. This world's going to give an account to God. I got my head a bowling the other night when I heard some of these statements that were being made. I heard one candidate say, I don't have a problem with the church, but I've got a problem with the one they serve. We're going to revoke all this against the church. We're going to come against the church if they don't support gay marriages. I said, my Lord, if they get in here, I wouldn't be surprised God didn't send fire and brimstone out of heaven and wipe them out, this whole land out. Oh, preacher, that's me. Well, that's exactly what he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus said, though you say, well, he won't do that. Jesus said, if you give them the testimony, just shake the foot dust off your feet. And if they don't hear you, it would be more tolerable for the city of Sodom than it would be for these people. How many know Jesus said that this morning? I got news for you. The day of reckoning is coming. There's no getting around it. It's flying by. My Lord, I can't believe I'll be going on 6 years up here next year. I know some saying 6 years too long. Well, I'm here till God tells me to go. Preacher, we can't take that kind of preaching. You need to get saved. We don't want that hard kind of preaching. You need to get things right. As I've always said, they don't want like this kind of preaching. They don't need to have their feet out there to get them stomped on. If you don't want your garden plowed, you need to hoe your own garden. Am I right? If you don't want it plowed, you need to get your hoe. I think you're talking to me every week. Yeah, I am. Because if you get the message, I wouldn't be talking to you. If it get through the thick skull, it wouldn't get to talk to you. You better be glad somebody's hit you to get you in order. instead of sitting there pouting like a baby. Oh, I've seen that people get mad because you preach something on them. Makes me want to. I'm coming through this one day. No, there's a day of reckoning that is coming. Your blood ain't going to be on my hands. The day of judgment is a-coming, and people ain't paying no attention how quick it's going. I want you to think about how quick your life was. Remember when you was a kid. Look where you are right now. My Lord, my little girl will be 6 years old in December. I say she's going on 16 now. She's growing up on me. She's growing up on me fast and quick. It tells me I'm getting that much older. But it shows you how quick this thing goes. What James said, life is just a vapor. And by the way, the Bible says you can lengthen or even shorten your days. By the way, how many know that? Listen, but people don't think about the day of accountability. They want to erase it from their mind. First of all, let me tell you, there are going to be those that stand before God, those who profess to know Him but don't really know Him. Did you hear me? They are those who profess salvation but don't have an ounce of it. Just look at the fruit they bear. They don't care to turn. They're not striving. I know we're not all perfect. I know we fall short of the glory of God. But there's some that ain't even striving to get perfect. There's some that is striving just to continue to do what they want to do. They want enough fire insurance and that's it. But there are those that are sitting on pews that are deceived. That ain't never been truly born again. The Bible addresses this in Scripture many places. There are those who profess but do not possess. Philippians 2 and 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I constantly hear from people, well, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. Well, let me tell you, they misquote this verse. They only put that part. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. This is what most people want to quote, that part right there. But they don't want to quote the other part to it. To leave that other part off is to do great harm to this scripture. With fear and trembling. Did you hear me? What Paul was getting at right here. Paul was saying regeneration initiates the believer into a life of obligations. Acknowledging Jesus as Lord obligates the believer to obey Him. As I told you, how can you call Him Lord when you obey Him not? How can you say that you're His'n when you're ripping out the Scripture? How can you say you're going into heaven when your fruit is nothing but rotten? And you don't want to grow good fruit. Think about it. Every believer should tremble at the thought of sin, not embrace it. Folks, there's a day of reckoning that is coming. Every believer should have a holy fear, a reverence for God. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. When I see believers that don't have no fear of God walk into this sanctuary, walk into sanctuary carrying coffee cups, you can snorkel all you want. You can do whatever you want. Bringing their snacks in here, thinking there's no harm in it. I'm going to tell you the harm. You have no respect for God. Plain and simple. The house of God is not, I'm not talking to kids because they don't know better. I'm talking to adults. The house of God is not Starbucks. And it's not a popcorn shop either. The house of God is holy. It is supposed to be respected, but there's not a respect for God. When we come into the house and we're on our phones twitching on Facebook, you ain't got no respect for God. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, there ain't no respect to God no more. There ain't no fear of God. People's lost the fear of God. Why do you think they can go around, do all their little gossip, do all their little murmuring, doing all their little complaining, come into the church and do it? Because there ain't no fear of God on them. Amen? Why do they think they can do things in private and not be caught? Because there ain't no fear of God. The thought of standing before God and giving account ought to make you tremble. The thought that in a moment's time you could be in eternity ought to make you tremble. Did you hear me? Well, preacher, I got plenty of time left. No, you don't. You don't know that. Ain't nobody knows that. Amen? Amen? I don't care if you got a clean bill of health or not. You may not have plenty of time left. You're not promised a tomorrow on this earth, but you are promised a tomorrow in eternity somewhere. It ought to put the fear of God in somebody. Reverence before God. Oh, preacher, this is just a building. I told you before, where Moses stood was just dirt. But God was in the burning bush, and God said, get your shoes off, for this is holy ground. Ain't that what God said? Because where you meet the presence of God, it's holy ground. Amen? Where you meet the presence of God, that is holy ground. But people ain't got no reverence for God. They ain't no fear of God. They're lacking the fear of God and the reverence of God. They ain't thinking they're going to have to give an account before Him. They're just sitting there, daring God. Well, let me tell you something. Have that attitude all you want. But the day's coming where it ain't going to be fun and games. The day's coming where you're going to have to stand before Him and give an account to Him at the throne room of God. Let me tell you, professor, there's a lot of professors, very little possessors in this day. In fact, Paul told us in the book of Titus 2 and 12, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we live soberly, listen to this, righteously, and godly in this present world. Right there is Paul who told us how to live right there. Soberly, righteously, and godly. Do you get that? Soberly, righteously, and godliness. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 2 Peter 3 and 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, by what manner of conversation and godliness? Right there we are told how we should live a holy life, a life that is pleasing to God, and not to flesh. You see, today many want to live according to the flesh. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow Him, you must pick up your cross and follow Him not once. Not once a week. Not 2 days a week. But He said, pick up your cross daily and follow Me. What it means to pick up your cross is to crucify your flesh. You must die in order to live in Christ. Paul said, I died, but I live. The life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. I am crucified with Christ. But yet the reality is, people are not striving to live holy before God, a life pleasing to God. People said, oh, I'm not perfect. There's not one that's made it perfect. There ain't but one perfect one that walked. It's Jesus. There's a difference in being messing up and a difference in letting sin have dominion over your life. Does anybody know the difference? If you don't know the difference, let me tell you the difference. Sin says, I stumbled, I messed up. But when sin's got dominion, you're controlled by sin. You have no choice in it. It controls your life. You do it automatically. Amen? There's a difference in stumbling and being controlled by sin. There's a big difference. Yes, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But a new believer should never have, should not, when somebody's in Christ, sin should never have dominion over them. That means lordship, rulership. That's what it means to have dominion over them. Let me tell you, we ought to strive to live to pleasing God, not just in private, not in public, but in private also. Oh, let me tell you, they are those who are claimed to be saved, but behind closed doors in private, they're nothing more than a stinking, ugly rattlesnake that is full of venom, that is full of deceit. They're nothing more than a wolf in sheep's clothing. Let me tell you, Satan himself disguised came as an angel of light. Let me tell you, behind that angel of light is darkness this morning. Let me tell you, Titus 1 and 16 describes these professors that professors but ain't possessors. It says they profess, they know God, but listen to this, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. What do you think Paul's saying there? He said with their mouth they're telling you one thing, but with their actions they're saying something else. Lip service, lip service, lip service, but their hearts are not right. He said their works deny him. Did you hear me? Their works deny him. Their works deny him. Their works deny him. Don't that go back to what Jesus said? You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Let me tell you, you're going to stand before God this morning. You're going to stand before God. You can fool the preacher, and some people can't fool the preacher. My spirit don't bear witness with somebody. I've learned to lean on that spirit. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Harold. Not every spirit that comes claiming Christ is of Christ. You look at the works, they deny him. They deny him in their lives. There's no good fruit there. It's all rotten, stinking, ungodly fruit there. Jesus, some don't even bear fruit. Let me tell you what you do with trees that bear rotten fruit or trees that don't bear no fruit. What do? You cut it down and you throw it into the fire. It's what Jesus said. He'd give you your part with the hypocrites. But people don't even think they're going to have to stand before God and give an account for their life. They go around acting like, well, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to give an account right now. Let me tell you, how do you know you ain't going to have to give an account in the next few minutes? How do you know you ain't going to have to give an account soon? How many know you may not be cast into eternity here in the next little bit before the day is over? Somebody could be in eternity. My Lord, let me tell you, people end up in hell that had plans this afternoon on this earth. They'll never make their plans for this afternoon. They'll be in the eternal flames of hell because they had an assumption. Amen? They assumed it wouldn't happen. I told you Wednesday night, don't assume anything. You better make sure. Judah assumed that God wasn't going to judge them. Their assumption was wrong. Did you hear me? But we got professors, but not possessors. Let me tell you, the rapture of the church could come any minute, and there's going to be a lot that will be left behind. But the day is coming where we're going to stand before God. The day is coming where we're going to take this last breath on this earth. The day is coming, either that or the trump of God is going to blow. And I'm telling you right now, I believe the rapture in my heart of hearts and everything I know about Scripture. I honestly believe the rapture, like no other generation, can happen at any second. I've never seen some of the things that I've seen going on right now. Our world is in a mess. The Middle East is getting worse and worse. Our nation, they're coming more ungodly by the day. Don't assume he's going to wait another 20 years, because today could be today. My thought on that is, my Lord, if he waits another 20 years, can you imagine what the world's going to be like? It is growing more wicked and wicked by the day. I can go back 10, 15 years ago. I never thought I would see the things that I see today. I never thought I'd see men walking around in skirts and makeup trying to be a woman. You even got some that think they're animals now. They say they're a dog. I'm serious. Or men trying to be women. I've never seen a day where the rampant rise of homosexuality is on the increase and acceptance of it like it's the norm. I got news for you. Homosexuality is not the norm. It's an abomination before God. And no, I will not confide. Here I am if you want to find me. I take this word over what some stupid politician's got to say. Here it is. Gay marriage is sin. It's an abomination. Islam's wrong. Islam's of the devil. Amen? Amen? Islam's going to send this country. Accepting Islam and rejected Christianity, you see what's going on. Think about it. It's evil. Secular humanism is inspired of God. If you want to know what secular humanism is, it's atheism. Man teaching they're their own God. Look where our country's at. Violence fills the land. It ain't guns that's causing the problem. It's the evil hearts and the rejection of Jesus Christ that is causing the problems today. My Lord, the things that I'm seeing right now. Adultery's running rampant. Oh, not just in action, but in people's hearts. Tell you something, married people. You got it in your heart. Committing adultery with somebody else or in your mind. You're just as guilty of adultery as in the actual act of it. It's what Jesus said. It runs rampant. Pornography fills our land. Half the TV shows that come on are full of nakedness. Full of ungodliness. Or the music in this land. Satan inspired. I'll dare to say it. I'm going to step on a few toes right here. You'll amen me about the rock and roll. You'll amen me about the rap music. But what if I start talking about the so-called country music? Well, ask yourself, how does getting drunk glorify God? How does running around on your mate glorify God? I'll even use this in hell's losing your dog. Some of it's nothing more than Satan inspired. I'm going to say this strong. And I'm about ready to say something really strong right here. I know some people ain't going to agree with me on this, but go right ahead. Disagree with me, but I'm right. I do not like to hear singers sing 1 minute about getting drunk, running around on their wives, songs about that, then the next minute singing Amazing Grace. How do you know? Why is that wrong? Because bitter and sweet can't come from the same fountain. You quiet on me on that. But I'm telling you the truth. Bitter and sweet cannot come from the same fountain. 1 minute they're talking about getting drunk, running around on their wives and their girlfriends and having all this done in their lives. And the next minute they're singing Amazing Grace. Something ain't right there. Something ain't right there. Bitter and sweet don't go together. Light and darkness don't go together. But this country is full of it. And I'm not just picking on the singing. I'm picking on people that live like that too. I'm speaking against people like that. One minute they want to live like hell, and the next minute they want to say they're on their way to heaven. You're either on your way to hell or you're on your way to heaven. There's no in between. Accountability, the day of accountability is a-coming. Lord, help us when I see churches blessing abortion clinics, legalized murder. They're not churches of God. They're churches of Satan. Their preachers are ministers of Satan. Churches that say same-sex marriage is okay, they're of the devil, not of God. God, help us. The day of accountability is coming. Let me talk to the believers in Christ. First, there's the Bema seat of Christ. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. Let me tell you, if I didn't preach to you what God's placed on me, I would give an account for it. Because I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for every message I ever preached. Every word that I ever spoken. Your preacher, your heart. Yeah, because I got to stand before God and I don't want you on my hands. I don't want to have to give an account why I didn't preach this. But you'll offend somebody. Well, I'd rather offend them out of hell than kiss them there. Did you hear me? You'll make them mad. I'd get in the crowd, get in the line, because I got a talent for it. Jesus made them mad. John the Baptist made them so mad they wanted to cut their head off. Paul made them mad. When you read Scripture, the true Word of God's going to make people upset. It's like a surgeon. It's like somebody that is sick. How many know when they're sick? What they're going to do, they're going to kick a little bit. Somebody sick's going to kick. They're going to scream. I remember this was before I was saved now. This was before I was saved. They had a test on me. They get me some gas. I was letting them nurses have it. I'm not going to repeat what I was saying. But I was letting them know I thought they was worthless. That whole hospital, they had me under. I was kicking and I was screaming. This was years and years ago. Why? Because a sick person screams. A sick person will kick a little bit. How many know that? I used to get so mad at the preacher. I used to say to the preacher, I thought to myself, I deserve half of your salary because I'm the reason for half of your messages. Youth pastor, I worked with him. He's the one that was influential to get me saved, but I'll tell you this. I would do everything that I could just to act, you know, just to really pester him. I would come up with some of the dumbest things, say the dumbest things, and I'm probably getting paid back for it now, but oh well. But listen, I would do that because I'd kick and scream. I'd kick and scream. I sent him a card one time when I was camping. That I was having me a party here. See what you could do about it. I ain't going to put on there what I done. Yeah, I done it. I was meaner than a rattlesnake. Why? Because I was sick. I was sin sick. Sick, I got to kick a little bit. Got to kick a little bit, stomp a little bit. Let me tell you, sin sick's got to be dealt with an antidote. And the only antidote is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, saint of God, what you do for Christ, you're going to determine your rewards. Sit around and do nothing, you ain't going to receive nothing. Your motives are another reason. Did you do it out of the right reason or the wrong reason? God's going to judge your motives that day. Or giving. Yes, what we give, we're going to give an account. Was it done out of the right motive or is it done out of the wrong motive? Yeah, we're going to stand before everything and give an account. You can go get Marcy here in just a minute. But to the wicked, yeah, she got it. Revelation 20, verses 11 and 5. There's another judgment that is coming to the wicked. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, excuse me. This ain't the Bema Seat. This is the place where the wicked will go. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you what's going to happen at this great white throne judgment. Those that are in hell, but there are going to be a resurrection of the wicked. And I'm telling you, the wicked's going to get a body. It ain't going to be a glorified body, but it's going to be a body that will never perish. It ain't going to be like the saints' glorified body. But what it's going to be like, that they'll be able to burn forever to never die. They'll feel the flame on them. They'll feel the worms are eating them. Can you imagine? Think about Raystown Lake. Think about the Great Lakes of Erie. And you think, those are humongous lakes, but can you imagine a lake beyond comprehensible that ain't got water in it, but is just burning with fire, burning to never be quenched. People crabbing to try to get a hold of it, but can't get out because they're chained and bound in a lake of fire. Judgment Day, they're going to be cast. Hell and all those resurrected from hell are going to be cast, and death are going to be cast into this lake. Hell's bad enough, but the lake of fire is that much worse. There's no relief. They're going to be judged by the books. What books? I believe it's the Word of God. They're going to be judged that, and I believe there's an account. God takes an account for every life, everything we do. I believe God takes record of it. The wicked, he's going to pull them things out. Going to bring it up, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. I don't want to be there. I don't want nobody else to be there. You can stand in here, but judgment days are coming, folks. Jesus said, I'm the one you got to answer to. Let me tell you, the day of accountability is a coming. The day that we give an account is a coming. Whether you're a believer or non-believer, saved or not, the day of accountability is a coming. To the believer, it should inspire you to do more for Christ in the right modus. To reflect the love of Christ, not to them that just love you, but to those that persecute you and hate you. Instead of running them down, start loving them. To your enemy, the one you don't want to forgive, you need to go put your hand around their neck. Work it out. Show the love of Christ. To those that are living like hell, you need to get your house in order, because the day of judgment is coming. It ain't a joke. It's a reality. It is a reality. This morning, I'm going to present to you this morning, where will you be on the day of accountability? Court date is coming. The Bible says we must all appear. All! There's not one that's going to escape it. The day of accountability. Is there one in here that says, if I had to give an account today, I wouldn't be ready? If I were to go into the eternal flames of hell, if I were to die today, I'd go into hellfire. Is there one in here? My life is not in order. 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 There's things in my heart that's not pleasing to God. There's things in my actions that's not pleasing to God. You need to get them out today. God's called and He's called. I want to tell somebody in here. He's called and He's called. And He's about done. You need to heed. For those who are right with God, can you do more? Are you showing the love of Christ? What is your motives? Is your motives pure this morning? We must give an account. I'm opening these altars. Is there one that says, I need to pray this morning? Is there one that says, I need to get things in order this morning? Is there one that says, I need to cry out to God this morning? The day of accountability is a coming, Sister Marcy. It is a coming. It is a coming. It is a coming in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.